for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Men's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, October the 15th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service, teaching on the life of Christ in us.
Well, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit be upon us and that you would anoint us, Lord, praise God, to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, Lord, all the wonderful things that you do. You went about doing good, praise God, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning, these men, these wonderful, precious men, in Jesus' name, amen. One of the things about ministering in the jail that the Lord impressed me early on is to treat those men with respect. When we first started going, we weren't in charge, and some of them were it just seemed like their whole, well, one of their purposes of being there was to put them down. Remind them why they were there, where they were at. A lot of people have attitudes like that toward them. But you know, they're in there. They're fathers. There's somebody's son. Somebody's husband. And this is something. A lot more people would be in jail if they'd been caught. But these were caught.
Yeah,
they were
caught. Yeah, you got some in here.
You know, they would have been caught. And I've noticed once you get in that system, they tend to keep you in that system. And one night I asked them, I said, how many of you have been before? And almost all of them raised their hand. And many of them had been in there multiple times. There's a young man, he just turned 18, and he was in there for the third time. And I sat down and talked to him before all of them came in. They have to get them from different directions of the jail. And he sat there and just cried and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I don't want to be here anymore. Praise God. Before we go further, how many of you are staying for lunch so Rick knows what to do? Would you just raise your hand so Rick can count you? And nobody else stand to eat this food? How many? Come on, so we can see. One, two. Nobody else? Three? Four? Not many. Oh, Rick, I don't know, whatever you want to do. You can give us the hamburgers when we pass out or whatever. All right. Praise God. Next is we need to pray for Barbara, Brother Merrill's wife. She's really having a struggle right now with migraines. Lord, we agree together. We come against that in the name of Jesus. And we command it to go and come off of her in Jesus' name. Come off of her, you devil. You have no right to be there. You're trespassing. And we command you to go in Jesus' name. Praise God. And we know, Lord, you're hearing us. Praise God. Just lift it off of her right now. And by the time he gets home, she'll be okay. Praise God right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless Merrill, Lord. Praise God, Lord. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want to speak to you this morning about the life of Christ in us. This is a message I spoke at our church. The life of Christ in us actually has become what I preach more than anything else. Let me ask first, how many of you have been, filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues? How many? Is this most everybody? That is one of the greatest weapons that God ever gave us. And we edify ourselves by speaking in tongues. We build ourselves up. When you're angry, pray in tongues. When you're afraid, pray in tongues. When you're confused, pray in tongues. Whatever the situation, when you're bored, when you don't know what to do, when you pray in tongues. Because according to Romans 8, he tells us there that we don't know how to pray as we ought. I used to think that meant sometimes we don't. But it's not what it says. It says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit of God prays through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And it says that he prays according to the will of God. Now in 1 John chapter 5 we read that if we pray according to the will of God, he hears us. If he hears us, we know we have what we ask for. You're never off base praying in tongues. Don't think that's just some proof that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit or something to make us feel better sometimes. And he said pray without ceasing. There's no way you can do that unless it's in tongues. Because I have done on the job I had for many years, I had to deal with great big numbers. I mean big numbers. And that was before a lot of helps we have now. I had to do it in my head, actually. And I could do that in praying tongues. I could check people out in the grocery store and pray in tongues, not where they could hear me, but while I could work out. I could do all that. It's wonderful. It works. Praise God. It really is. God gave it to us. Let's use it.
Yes.
And the devil wants us to forget it, though. Now, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Let me back up. The first problem is most are not crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. It's religion. They're doing it themselves. And they have not come to that place, not my will, but your will be done. I'm crucified with Christ. We have to live the crucified life. What is the crucified life? It's what Jesus said, deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. It is not a one-time crucifying ourselves. Well, I walked down the church aisle in front of everybody and shook the preacher's hand, I crucified myself. Well, bless your hearts, good thing you did that, but that's not where it stops. It's ongoing, constantly. Praise God. And let me say this, God never takes away anything that he doesn't replace it with something better. He never does. Our assistant pastor was preaching a message lately, and I'm this song, I'm going to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Well, the first thing, he can't take anything from a child of God without God's permission. And where do we get it that we can go get it back? You know, and forgetting those things that are past, pressing on toward the mark, the prize of high calling Christ Jesus, I'm not going to sit around and sulk for years about something I lost or I think the devil stole from me. And most of the time, it's God knew it needed to come out of our life because it was a hindrance. Praise God. I just want to say that. I know a church that have two songs, and when things get a little slow in there, that's one of them they'll pull out and sing that, and it'll get them going. I'm going to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Praise God. Well, whatever. If he's big enough to take it, and you couldn't stop him, how do you think you're going to go in his camp and get it back? This is, you know, just look at some of these songs that people sing. Oh, my. I've got to where when I get to, you know, the brush of angels' wings, I feel them. I don't feel them. So I don't need to sing that. It's a lie, you know. I don't feel it. And besides, there's something better than the brush of angels' wings. It's the presence of the Lord. So praise God. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It can't be both. It can't be me living my life and Christ living in me. It can't be both. Something's got to go. Something has to submit. And it is a life of submission. It is a point where we hear his voice and we obey. Christ, he said, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this body, I'm not living, going after the flesh. That's not what it means, in this body. He said, we knew Christ after the flesh. We no longer know any man after the flesh. And not talking about the fleshly desires and lusts and so forth, but this body. And we know that because they said, we saw him, we handled him, we heard him, and that's what they're talking about. Praise God. Now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not faith in the Son of God, but by the faith of the Son of God. Nothing comes from us. Nothing comes from us. Everything's from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow, nor shadow turning. Faith, and faith is a progression. He's given every man a measure of faith. We have to have that to be saved. And then we see faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a gift of the Holy Ghost, supernatural faith. And so faith is something, and we, without it, we cannot please God. Now, a little over 20 years ago, I've been pastoring that church where I'm at in Peerless, a little over 39 years now. I went there and doing what I've been taught to do. And I thought the objective of a pastor was to see how many people he could get in that building. And then when he got it, now you're not supposed to get it all the way full. You're supposed to get to a point, and then you start building your next building. And then you got to get that one filled. And when you get to a point, you start, and somewhere along here, you move out on the freeway and get the best location in town and build something they can see for miles. I was northwest of Austin, around Lake Travis there. And for miles, there was this cross sticking up. And my wife and I said, I got to see where this is at. So we went, and it just happened to be the Catholic Church, but this cross is just tremendous. And the Lord gave me a little song. You want to hear the song about the cross? I'm sorry. Our cross is bigger than your cross, so our church is better than yours. It's not just a cross. It's these churches that look like a spaceship about to take off, or whatever it is, you know. And there's such competition in the whole thing. There is competition. We used to, in Dallas, when I was assistant pastor, we ran church buses and picked up kids. And some of them give us, hey, that church gives out gold watches. What do y'all give out? You know, of course, they weren't real gold, but they were gold colored. And so you got to get your angle going. Till somebody else finds out what you're doing, they talk to you, you know, and it's just the way it is anyway. So that's what I thought. And I spoke in tongues. I danced in the Spirit, falling out in the Spirit, did all those things. It's wonderful. And I worked at Safeway. First 9 years I pastored there, had to. We went there. The bathroom was out by the back fence, and it didn't flush. And the windows had screen wire tacked on windows that wouldn't open, no air conditioning. It was so hot in there in August, you could not stand there on a Sunday afternoon. I'm just telling you, it was pretty rough. And it was rough on my flesh because, having been assistant pastor at a large church in Dallas, we didn't even have a Sunday school class that small. But God has a way of making you be willing. He has a way. And the first church I pastored was even smaller than it. And so when I left, I said, Lord, I served my time in a little church. Now I get to move up, you know. But he has a way. And after a year and a half, while I was assistant pastor in a church in Greenville for a while, which I was totally out of the will of God, disobeyed God, and suffered for it, got to wander in the wilderness for a year and a half. But I was up near the Red River at a little church preaching that morning. And they had a Sunday school class in each corner of the church. And for the break between Sunday school and church, half of them left. And then they were trying to move the piano, and they discovered there were termites in their piano. And it's just a sad story. You know, it's sad. But you know, I sat there and I said, Lord, I'll take a church just like this. He had to get me to that place, you know. And I went to one, probably it's a little more than that, you know. But didn't know why. I know why now. I know why now, praise God. I can't go into all that, but it's good. It's good. Even tried to move the church up on the highway, and God stopped that. Through a lady in the church, it got me told one afternoon. thank God for the little ladies in the church that get you told, or the men, or whoever. And it may hurt you a little bit, but you need to hear some things. I went to the presbyter. I drove over his house. It's 14 miles. I said, I was ready to leave. They won't do what God told me we need to do. And the presbyter said, oh, he said, Nicky, just tell God they wouldn't do it. Go back and pastor the church. You know, it's like, don't, the light comes on. You know, that sounds pretty good. So I did. Stayed, of course, many more years. Well, I really didn't know Christ. You know, there's two kinds of people sitting on a church pew. Those that know Him and those that know about Him. Percentage-wise, maybe 90-95% only know about Him. I mean, they quote the Word, they can read their Sunday school lesson, they do all this, sing in the choir, preach even, pastor. They know about Him, but they don't know Him. There is a vast difference. I didn't know that. But I would be driving home from work. I went in real early, got off early, and I stopped the old church and walked in and locked the door and pray. Sometimes to me at that point, real prayer was when you got touched, you know. You got to get touched in something. Sometimes it was nothing. It was just dead. And I'd start to leave, and the Holy Spirit would speak to me and say, why don't you try a little longer? Well, I would, and sometimes He'd touch me. We had a youth camp for 13 years down in East Texas, our church did. And now, on the last night of camp, this particular year, something came over me, a spirit of prayer I never had before. It's different when you're trying to pray than when the spirit of prayer comes upon you. Why did it come? Because I would stop by on the way home from work and pray. And He honored that. Seek me and you'll find me. Doesn't mean you're going to find Him right then. But you know, you're coming to a point. You're building up to that. So it was so strong I couldn't even talk to anyone. I went down in the woods and hid. So I never prayed like that before in my life. It's different when God prays through you and when you pray. One time I went to a revival with the presbyter. And we stayed in the same room. And after a few nights, I could pray this prayer for him. I mean, you know, I just almost memorized his laundry list that he went through. And, well, there is that kind of praying. I'm not saying God will not answer. But there is a prayer when God begins to pray through you, whether in tongues or whether in your native language. Paul said that I will pray in the understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. Now notice the key word is I will. I will. Be led by the Holy Spirit. You can will to pray. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the right, the authority, the power to pray in tongues. You can do it. And you start out, and the Holy Spirit will come and pick that up. You can pray in sing in the understanding, sing in the Spirit. He says that in the same verse. I didn't even know you. Raised in Assembly of God Church all my life, never heard anybody sing in tongues. I didn't know what that was. And one night I was in the prayer room, the men's prayer room, and I heard our pastor sing in tongues. I thought, whoa, what's this? Didn't know. It wasn't taught. And I don't know if they just assume that you know those things or so few know it. Okay. So I went back there and prayed, and finally they were calling me on the loudspeaker. They needed me up there. And I walked back up there. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. That night, we had the most glorious service I'd ever seen in my life. And, well, that's pretty neat. So, let me say this. It's not that we don't want more of God. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Maybe we're satisfied. But a lot of us, we don't realize there is more God. Wherever you're at this morning, you've not got to where you can get. Why do you want to stop there? And it's like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, let's just build three tabernacles and stay up here. No. There's more. Guys, let me tell you this one. There's more than what you have. There's more than what you have. I don't care how much you speak in tongues or what you do. What kind of ministry you have, there's more. I'm not talking about necessarily more ministry. Quit going after ministry and go after Christ. We minister out of our experience with Christ. We don't minister out of our ministry or, you know, our knowledge or our information or our training. I see this in our denomination, and I know some people don't believe in denominations, but you know, there's some independent churches just as bad as any denomination ever thought of being. It doesn't. That's not where. That's not what determines that necessarily. Anyway, they have 18. I believe that's right. 18, 21 something colleges, universities, and they all began to train ministers and missionaries. Now they all have become almost liberal arts colleges. And my daughter went to one in Waxahachie near us, and she's 43 years old, still paying her student loan. You know. So that has become a problem. And I see how that, to attract students, they thought they need all their professors and whatever to have a PhD. You know, our school has more PhDs than yours does, so you need to come to ours, that kind of thing. It's everywhere, y'all. We have a bigger pipe organ, we have a bigger choir, we have a better youth program, whatever. So, our young ministers, being on our sectional committee, we have to find ministers sometimes for the small country churches. And you can't, these young guys come down Bibles, they cannot afford to take a little church. They can't afford it. So we're starting to hurt from young ministers, you know. And I'm saying things I hope nobody ever listens to. But why do you go to Bible school? To get that piece of paper. So you can get a position. That's why you do that. I learned one thing. I dropped out of Bible school. Thank God. You can say what you want to say. I dropped out. We've had pastors in our section with PhDs or DD, Doctor of Divinity, whatever. We've had them as pastors. Churches smaller than our pastor. So what's that, you know? If you think that's going to get you somewhere. But when you find, what I'm talking about this morning, when you start finding God and knowing God, you minister out of that, not out of information that you've received. Well, one morning I'd get up early. We lived in a small house. We couldn't even find a house in Peerless to live in for 2 years. And this house opened up. A man got killed in the intersection there, and his wife didn't want to stay there. I saw Peerless. That's a whole thing I could write a book about. But anyway, I had to get out of the house to go study and get ready for church. So I'd go up there, and I was laying down. It only had a middle aisle with some old green carpet. You know, it was pretty bad. I was laying on that carpet, and I'm laying there minding my own business. And I'm not moving. I'm just laying there. And all of a sudden, something starts at my head and goes to my feet like a gentle wave of the ocean. This may not be your experience, but I'm just telling you what happened. And then it went from my feet back up and back and forth, and then I felt like fire in my bosom. I never felt that before when I danced in the spirit or all this other thing. I never felt that. I said, wow, what is this? I'm not moving a muscle. You don't have to move a muscle to get blessed, you know. And I stayed there as long as I could stay there till I had to get up and go home to get dressed. And I'm walking home, and I am a different man. I mean, I'm walking on clouds. I got something in me I never had before. And you know what it was? Christ inwardly in me. From that point on, I began to know Him. That word know is the same word used when Adam knew Eve in relationships. It's the same word. God wants you to know Him. Know His Son. Don't think in a sexual sense. This is not about that. But in intimacy. You begin to know Him and see Him in intimacy. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, and I haven't got past the first sentence here, but in chapter 1, he said, it pleased the Father. Let me back up a little early in the chapter. He says, that I preach Christ out of revelation. Revelation. He has been revealed in me, and out of that revelation, I preach Him. Out of that revelation, I preach Him. It's a sad thing. It would be God may put you somewhere, but why would you want to sit under a pastor that's giving you information instead of revelation? for me, why would I want to pastor a church that I don't have a word from God about that church? He gave me words. I'm still waiting, you know. But He gave me promises, many promises, dreams, visions. And so now I'm in the waiting period. I thought He impressed upon me, Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. Said he grew strong in faith. And I was reading there in Romans all this about Abraham. And the things he told me didn't happen a year later, 2 years later. And it's getting on down the line pretty long, several years. And I said, well, 25 years, that's what it is. I've got to wait 25 years. 25 years come, it's going to happen. A friend of mine, preacher friend of mine, told me that. Yes, 25 years came and went. What, about 14 years ago? Then I started looking at you now, someone else, and all my Moses, 40 years on the backside of the desert. I don't want to wait that long. I'm almost there, y'all. The breakthrough may come next year, 40 years. What are you going to do if the breakthrough never comes? And then, oh my, Noah, 120 years. I don't think I can do that one. God had him show me, saying, if I die not having received the promises, you read that in Hebrews chapter 11, these all died in the faith not having received the promises. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's how Saul got himself in trouble the first time. Samuel said, I'll be there. Wait 7 days, I'll be there. And on the seventh day, his army's deserting him. You know, his church is getting smaller and smaller. And the finances and the army, the enemy, and he went ahead and offered the sacrifice because Samuel hadn't showed up. Just about the time he gets going, guess who shows up? And it's still the seventh day, folks. And for that he lost, that's the beginning of him losing the kingdom. I don't know, I had to come to the conclusion, if I die, I never see what God promised, I'm going to believe Him to my dying breath. Has it been easy? No, it hasn't been easy. What's God promised you that hasn't happened yet? And then He may give it to you and then ask for it back, like He asked for Isaac back. Okay? This God we're dealing with is not like your friend, your daddy, or whatever, or most, He's not like what you read in all the literature you read, or even what we have come up with in our minds. So that totally began to change my life. And I thought, I got to have more of that. It's addictive, you know. It was so good. It was, to me, it was greater than relations with my wife. It was more intense than that. So I go up there and I lock myself in that old church, and I lay on the floor because that's where it happened. I lay on the floor, and he'd come. I say, "Come." He'd come. I started having visions and dreams. I saw the Lord come very close, and I felt dirty and wanted to cover up. And that's kind of like Isaiah, you know, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up. I'm not Isaiah, but to me it was similar. I had a vision of a chest, a treasure chest inside, right here inside my chest. And I didn't want anybody to see it. And there's a book over there, Christ Inwardly, that I wrote. And it's a treasure chest because that's what I saw. But then one day I went and he didn't come. And I went. And so after several days, he didn't come. So, oh my, what have I done? You know, what's going on here? And it's a while. And I thought, this is wrong, something wrong here. But then he showed me on the cross, Jesus being tempted in all points like as we are. On the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there'll be periods in your walk with God that you'll feel like he's forsaken you on whatever issue it is, okay? Not answering your prayer, not feeling this. I can honestly say I have a long time ago, and I thank God for this, I want to keep this. I've come to a place where I'd rather have His presence. I'd rather see His face than have His hands giving me stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's just not that important anymore. It's I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to have anything except Him. Then I found that scripture that we're complete in Christ, who's the head of all things. We are either complete in Christ or we're not complete in Christ. When you are complete in Christ, there's no way that the devil can get at you if you'll remain in that position. He can't. It's like Jesus said, Satan has come and he has found nothing in me. Nothing he can get a hold of. There's no unfulfilled desire in me because he fulfills my desire. If my wife leaves me, I'm going to make it. Now, my first wife died, and I found, I've told this, some of you may have heard it. I was pallbearer for our presbyter's wife's funeral. I was very close to her, a secretary treasurer. We went to a lot of places together. And as we walked by and shaking their hands there with the coffin there, and he looked at me and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. She was my life. And I thought, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. When Christ, who is our life, have you come to that place yet? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Is he your life? Have you come to that place? You must. You must come to that place. If we don't come to that place, the devil will get in somewhere. There'll be a back door somewhere. There'll be some desire. There'll be some fear. There'll be something. But when we're complete in Christ, he cannot get at us. Do you see that? But we have to be complete in him. Being complete in him means I'm not complete in anyone else. I'm not complete in a job. I'm not complete in a ministry. I'm not complete in all these things. I am complete in him.
Yeah.
When sexual temptations come, it's not going to work. You're complete in him. Praise God. I don't want to go there, but okay. So it totally changed my life to this very day. And I wonder, David Wilkerson said something when he was living in Lindale, Texas, and Leonard Ravenhill lived right there by and behind him or something. He came and he gave him a book, Christian in Complete Armor. And there used to be some back there, I don't know if there still is, by Gennard. And he looked at it and said, who could read that? Big old thick book, the language was a little bit archaic. And it was God speaking. The seed was planted. Don't get discouraged when you plant a seed in someone that God told you to and you don't see results right then. Don't get discouraged. David Wilkerson was in California. He was so discouraged. His wife, had many operations for cancer. That means that they're not having relationships. That means, guys, you got to fight to keep your vessel in honor, That means you better be complete in Christ. Are you going to go looking for somebody? We have had a pastor in our section. He was our presbyter. And his wife had Alzheimer's, and they caught him in a motel room with another woman. But if you're complete in Christ, you don't have to do that. I'm telling you, you don't have to. Your needs are being supplied by this Christ that you're completing. He's your source of all things. He is what Jesus told the woman at the well, whose source seems to be relationships with men. Married 5 times and living with someone she wasn't married to. Of course, she was going to get married, you know that. We're going to get married. And he's telling us, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water, and you'll never thirst again. What's he talking about? He's talking about you won't need all this relationship with me. It's all right to have a husband. And no, that's not wrong. All right to have a wife, guys. But if you drink this living water that I have for you, you could be complete and you don't have to have all that. The rich young ruler walked away from Jesus because he could not see himself living without his stuff, his money, his position. He did not realize by following Christ and coming to know him that he would be complete, and he doesn't need that. That's why when we can take joyfully the spoiling of our goods because we're complete in Christ. Take it. That's why when they ask for your coat, you can give them your cloak also, because you're complete in Christ. That's why when Jesus said, if they ask you to go a mile, go 2 miles, you can do that because you're complete in Christ. No one, nothing can get to you to destroy you or distract you when you're complete in Christ. So, this woman at the well, and he said, I'll give you living water. Now, I didn't know all those years. Another thing I didn't realize. That I'd always been taught that was salvation. It's not salvation. It's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That is what it is. I'll give you living water. You'll never thirst again. That's chapter 4. Chapter 7. Jesus stands and says, all you that are thirsty, come to me. And I'll give you living water. And it shall be rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. He's talking about, I want to tell you something, the theme of the Gospels, and you may disagree with me, the theme of the Gospels is the Holy Spirit. Only because, and He's God, okay? He's as much God as Jesus is, or the Father. We're not wrong on that. So people say, you put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. No, you look at what Jesus preached the Holy Spirit. Chapter John 14, 15, and 16, he's preaching the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's the very thing that was said about him. John the Baptist said, of all the things he could have said about Christ, he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Before Jesus ascends, Acts chapter 1, and also in Luke 24:49, before he ascends to the Father, of course, the same man wrote both of them, but he's from a different angle. He said in Acts, you remain in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And then that's in Luke. But he said, you stay here. He said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, which you've heard of me. And then he in verse 8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. You got a modern translation, it'll say authority, right, or something else. Just cross it out and put power. You can have all the authority in the world. King James is right on that. You can have all the authority in the world, you can have all the right in the world, and still not become a child of God. Just think it through, folks. Just think it through. I can have the biggest gun and still not get something. I can have right, I can have authority, but you got to have power to back it up. And you have to have, it takes the power of God to save a person. You can't be saved without His power. Where are you going to get that power? Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. And that's another thing. Your modern translations will change that. And they'll say for, or primarily they'll say for me. Now let me tell you something about for. If I'm going to be something for Christ, I'm doing it. But if I'm going to be something unto Christ, He's doing it. To be a witness unto me means you'll be exactly what I am. You will be changed into my image. My person, which is another thing that goes right through the Gospels in the New Testament. We have to see what it's all about. It's not all, in that jail where the Baptists are in charge of that, the First Baptist Church primarily, and every baptism they get to count. And I'll tell you, the baptisms, if it goes down a little bit, they get all anxious. Because they're the number one Baptist Church. I don't know if it's the Baptist convention, I don't know which one convention they belong to, but anyway, they're the number one church, Sulphur Springs First Baptist Church. And that looks good on the pastor's resume. He shows up to baptize them. We never see him any other time. You know, we're in there preaching to them. And every time we've got to ask how many want to be baptized. I've already been baptized 3 times. That's all right, be baptized again. It counts. It counts. Praise God. We've made so many things the theme of the New Testament. But what is the theme? I tell you what, without the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in us, we'll never know Him. How does He live in us? He lives in us because the Holy Spirit reveals Him in us. And back to Galatians chapter 1, I'll go off here and I forget where I was at, but thank God He's... Galatians chapter 1, He said, "It pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal His Son in me." In me. If you go through your New Testament as the Lord leads you and begin to look, what are we thinking? It says in. It doesn't say to me. It says in me. And you really begin to watch that word in and all the strategic places the word is in. Because why? It's not to, it's in. There's the outward revelation of Christ, which is signs, wonders, miracles, dreams, visions, teaching, preaching, all those things. They're there. That's the outward revelation of Christ. It does not change you into the image of Christ. It will not change you. But the inward revelation of Christ is what changes us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. As we behold Him as in a mirror, that means the exact image, right? As we behold Him, Christ, we're changed into the same image, the same image, from glory to glory, which means revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's no way you can go to classes. You know, the big thing now is discipleship classes. That's the big thing. You got to join the discipleship. Get your little certificate. I am now whatever I am. Get your certificate. And those programs and those things really work well, you know, to keep people in an organization. I knew a pastor in Paris, Texas, this long time ago. And he I don't know where he read it, he in a book or something, somebody told him. He gave everybody in the church a ministry. And everybody's in the church is a minister and they're responsible. And what does that do? It keeps them in there. You're going to have a program, get as many people on the platform or involved in it, so they'll bring their friends, and what happens? Your attendance skyrockets. All these little things people do. What if you only offered Christ? How many would come? What are we supposed to offer? No one, nothing else but Christ. And if we've got to have entertainment, if we've got to have motivational speeches, which has really worked well for a guy down in Houston, if we, whatever it is, if we do that, you know, then we're going to get them in on that. There was a pastor of a very large church one time. He said, okay, you get them in on hamburgers. How's it going to work when you try to wean them off of your hamburgers onto Christ? They'll leave. Whatever they came for. Oh, we'll get them in here. Isn't that deceitful? We'll get them in here on this, and then we'll, it's a bait and switch, you know. We'll get them in here on an ice cream party or pizza party or a sports team. The church I grew up in Dallas, Assembly of God Church, they got into a baseball league. And there's other Assembly of God churches and Baptists and whatever. And I'll never forget one night at the park there, the two Assembly, our church and another Assembly of God church were playing each other, and I thought they were going to have to call the police out. I mean, it got bad. Our school, and our Christian school was large. We played in league basketball and volleyball and baseball and all that. And we'd go even to an Assembly of God church. There's other Baptists and different ones. We'd go there, and I'm sitting there, and okay, this is, well, you want to be in a different setting, see? Okay, so our team's playing. And the pastor and the people from that other church and the coach, come on! Whoa, wait a minute! What is this? You know, and then they're cheating, and their pastor's the ref. And I know what church I'm thinking of, a certain church. Their pastor's ref, and you can't play the referees in the other team bowl. You know, it's just really hard. One time we went to a softball tournament. Or I don't know if it was baseball, softball, I don't remember now. We went to a tournament, and we're poor, see. And our guys, some of them didn't, they were barefooted. And we get out, and this is in Seagoville, right outside of Dallas. And we looked like country bumpkins. got off the bus, and they're in there with their nice uniforms on, you know, and they got all the equipment. We are having to trade gloves with, you know, our guys. We get off. They got so mad because we won the whole thing, the whole tournament. We walked off with the trophy. It just can't be this way. You can't do this. We're, you know, whatever. I don't know why. I'm just telling you that. So, are you understanding what I'm saying? There is an intimacy with Christ that surpasses anything you've ever known. You can have that, not without the Holy Spirit, because He's the only one. And in John chapter 16, He said, "The Holy." He said, "I have many things to say to you, but I can't. You can't bear them now." But He said, "When the Holy Spirit's come," and He said, "He'll teach you all things. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come." He said, "He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you." That's the revelation of Christ. Paul, what did Paul say? "It pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal His Son in me." In me. In John chapter 17, Christ's high priestly prayer for us, He said that we may be one. I and you, you and me. Them in us. In. It's got to come to be an in. It can't be outside. If the only thing you know of Him and the only thing you have of Him is outside you, and it'll show. It'll show. You may have, you've got religion, you may have degrees, you may, I don't know what you'll have. But it's only that inward revelation of Christ that's going to change us and make us the men that God wants us to be. And if you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Praise God. I'm going to stop there. Let's stand. Praise God. I'm not talking to you about something I read somewhere. To be honest, I haven't read it anywhere. If anything, it started with a book by E. Stanley Jones. If I can remember the title, A Victory Through Surrender, I believe. And I began to learn how to surrender to God, to surrender to the Holy Spirit. I look back on my life, the progression of how He's brought me to where I'm at. I just want to say this. I have not arrived. Paul said that. When he said, "I haven't arrived," in Philippians chapter 3, he said, he's not saying he's not saved or whatever. He said, there's so much more about Christ. When I was a little boy, it scared me to think about eternity. I don't know how this, but I'd sit in my room and it would scare me. How can you be somewhere forever and ever and forever and forever and forever and forever? I mean, after a while, sitting on the cloud strumming the harp's going to get boring. But I want to tell you, there's no end to the revelation of Christ. You will never, ever, we will never, ever come to the end of Christ. Throughout eternity, He said, we shall know Him as He knows us. It'll take eternity, which has no end, to know Him. He is so vast. He is so big. He is so wonderful. Guys, you can love Him. You can love Him. We are to be the bride of Christ. Amen? In love with Him. In love with Him. In fact, how does He love us? In Romans chapter 5, He said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Have you ever been loved like that? That's when we say we're complete in Christ, we're even talking about in our emotions. We're talking about our affections. Let Him love you. Praise God. Let Him love you. You'll love your wife better if you let Him love you. You'll love your kids better. When you know, it's when we're being loved and we're our love, need for love, whatever is being satisfied, it's easier for us to give love. When we don't have love, when we're not being loved, we don't feel love, we feel rejected, then that's what we do to other people. We reject them. I tell you what, He's answered everything. Mm-hmm. We used to hear Christ as the answer. Now we've got all this other stuff that's supposed to be the answer, and it's not. It's not. It costs what? It's cost thousands, maybe millions of souls. Because we begin to teach that this or that's the answer. That He alone, standing alone, needing nothing else, is the answer. And we see right there in the Garden of Eden, when Eve decided she wasn't complete in Christ. When the devil tricked her and told her, you need this to be complete. You'll be as gods. That's always been what the devil's trying to do. Give us something else. Praise God. Praise God. I want to pray for you if you'll allow me to. Before we go, would you do that? If you just come and stand, I want to pray for you. If you don't want to, that's fine. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to take the things of Christ and show them to you. Praise God.
When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because the power of Christ rests upon me. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. Praise God. He's the power of God unto salvation. He is everything.
Lord, let me know You better today than I did yesterday.
Yes, Lord.
Let me see You more clearly. Let me have more fellowship, deeper fellowship today with You than I had yesterday. Help us as men to take time out to be with Jesus. To be with Christ, praise God. Not what we can get out of You or to complain to You or all that stuff. Oh Lord, but just to know You. Let us be like Mary and sit at Your feet, praise God. And she has chosen that good thing that shall never be taken away from her. The only thing we can take out of this life is Christ. That's it. That's it. Praise God. The only thing that's going to get us into heaven is Christ. Praise God. He is so willing to be vulnerable, to expose Himself to us, to show Himself to us. He takes the risk of being vulnerable. And that's why those that have tasted of Him and go back on Him, there remains no more sacrifice. Don't do Him that way. Don't do Him that way. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Bless the food we're going to eat. And keep us, Lord, on the way home. And help us, Lord, not to be so caught up in everything else, but to separate ourselves, come apart to You, and be in Your presence and fellowship with You. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.